I looked in a book and found a couple of interesting ways to determine if you're a mom or not. For instance, you know you're a mom if your idea of an island paradise is a five-minute bubble bath with the door closed, even though you can still hear SpongeBob SquarePants in the background. If that fits you, you're a mom. You know you're a mom when your child throws up and you catch it. You know you're a mom when someone else's child's kids throw up and you just keep on eating. Real moms know that their kitchen utensils are probably in the sandbox. Real moms often have sticky floors, dirty ovens, and happy kids. Real moms don't want you to know, they don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real moms know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. It is marked by the progression of mama to mommy to mom to, I'll call you anything you want as long as you'll let me have the car tonight. This week I was asking myself some questions leading up to Mother's Day. One of the questions was, what is the hallmark of a great mother? The other question was, what's the greatest gift you could give a mother for Mother's Day? And I kept coming up with the same answer for both. And that is kindness. Kindness is the hallmark of a great mom. And kindness is the greatest thing you could ever give back to your mom. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about kindness. Try a little kindness. Now, I hope you received a bulletin. Inside the bulletin, you'll find an outline for today's message, and I encourage you to follow along. There's some blanks on there that I'll let you know you can fill in as we go. Now, look at this verse in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. It says, because of God's deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and what? Kindness to others. That's what the Bible says we should do. Practice mercy and kindness to others. Now, let me give you a definition of kindness. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is love in action. It's something you do. It's practical help. Mothers are full of kindness, and they express it over and over again by doing practical things for their family members, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Now, I want us to look at five different words to suggest how we can become more kind in our everyday lives. Specifically, applying this to Mother's Day, how can we show kindness to our moms? But how can we express and show and demonstrate kindness to all people everywhere that come in contact with us every day? How can we do that? Let me give you five different suggestions. Number one, one way you can do that, one way you can show your kindness is to become sensitive. Become sensitive. You need to tune in to people around you. You need to become aware of their needs so you can find a way to meet them if possible. Become sensitive. Look what it says in Philippians 2, verse 4. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. There's nothing wrong with trying to take care of ourselves and meet some of our own needs. No, nothing wrong with that. But you don't do that to the exclusion of the needs of other people. Kindness is sensitive to find out what those needs are so you can meet them. Now, let me say two things about this being sensitive. First of all, you can just bank on this. Everybody's having a tough time. You can just mark that down. You know by life experiences. I saw the heads go, yeah, I got that one. Everyone's having a tough time. Everybody sitting around you, behind you, beside you is having a tough time, just in different areas probably than you, at varying degrees, not so bad, extremely serious, and at different times or stages of their life. Everyone has a tough time. Be sensitive to that. And secondly, the number one cause sometimes that keeps us from being proactively kind is busyness. We just get too busy. And we say, man, I'd like to do it, but I don't have time for that. If I were to ask you what were the greatest three emotional needs of the people closest to you this past week, would you be able to answer? Were you sensitive to what they were going through? Were you too busy to figure it out? In a book called A Window on the Mountain, Winston Pierce tells of his high school class reunion. And have you all been to a high school class reunion? Some of you? Yeah. I don't go. I went to one. I said, that was enough. I'm never going back. I don't even go to Libby's. She shows pictures of her husband just like this. She came home one day and I looked at the picture. It was Brad Pitt. What? Guess she didn't want them to see this mug, but that's all right. But in this book, A Window on the Mountain, Winston Pierce tells of his high school class reunion, and a group of the old classmates were reminiscing about things and people that they were grateful for. And one man mentioned that he was particularly thankful for Mrs. Wendt, for she, more than anyone, had introduced him to Tennyson and to the beauty of poetry. And acting on a suggestion that was given to him, the man wrote a letter of appreciation to Mrs. Wendt and addressed it to the high school where she taught him. The letter was forwarded and eventually found the old teacher. And about a month later, the man received a response. It was written in feeble longhand, and it read as follows. My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your letter meant to me. I am now in my 90s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of fall lingering behind. You will be interested to know that I taught school for 40 years, and yours is the first letter of appreciation I've ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has for years. Willie, you have made my day. I'm glad Willie was sensitive, that he saw a need and found a way to show kindness that to a lady who blessed him so much going through high school. Folks, that's what we need to do. We need to be sensitive. We need to act on it. We need not be too busy. Folks, don't wait to show your kindness when it's convenient or when it's easy to do so. Kindness starts with a way of looking, seeing, and sensing people's needs. Remember, folks, sometimes a tear means happiness and a smile means hurt. Be sensitive. Number two, be supportive. Be supportive. Be supportive in your speech, in the way you talk to people. In Proverbs 15:4, look what it says here. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. We need to speak kind words. There's enough rough talk out there, isn't there? And people hear it all the time. We need to speak kind words. How many of you remember Charlie Brown, the Charlie Brown cartoons that were on the Sunday paper? Or you can look them online now. Go online, they have all of them. It's great. In a Peanuts cartoon, the little red-haired girl calls Charlie Brown on the phone and says, hey, Chuck, guess what? I'm running for Queen of the May at our school. Charlie Brown said, that's interesting. Lucy has already been chosen Queen of the May at our school. She's standing here with the crown on her head. In the next little scene, it shows the little red-haired girl saying, "Your school has pretty low standards, Chuck." And the last little block says, Charlie turned around to Lucy, and he's saying to her, she says, "Congratulations." Now that was tact. That was diplomacy. That was kindness. Do you remember how ruthless kids can be on the playground when you were in school way back in the day? They would exploit your every weakness, rub in every failure, go for the jugular, just trying to play this game of one-upsmanship and who's the toughest, who's the best. Sometimes you would get hurt. You'd go home and you'd tell your mom you got your feelings hurt, and your mom would say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Well, that's not true. Not a bit. A broken bone heals a lot faster than a broken spirit. The Bible says, "Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit." Folks, your words, what you say, have the power to heal or the power to hurt. So think about that. Be supportive with your conversation. How much do you support people with your words? Are you an encourager or a discourager? Do you lift people up or put them down? Do you give people strokes or pokes? Do you nag your children or do you brag on your children? If God were to have a contest and he said, "I'm going to give you a dollar for every kind word you said this past year, and I'm going to take away for every harsh word you've said," would you be broke or would you have a lot of money in the pot? Be supportive with your words. Remember, folks, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Be supportive in what you speak. Number three, be sympathetic. Kind people share in the emotions of others. They're sympathetic. Look at Romans 12:15. It says, "When others are happy, be happy with them. When they're sad, share their sorrows." One reason I think Ronald Reagan was such a popular president, regardless of what you think about his politics, was he knew how to express genuine emotion. In the moments of national tragedy, like when the space shuttle was destroyed or when people were killed in Lebanon, he would cry openly because it broke his heart. And in a moment of patriotic fervor, when they were rededicating the Statue of Liberty, you could still see a tear in his eye, a tear of joy, being proud about living in America. Strong leaders are not afraid to express their emotion. But we've been taught just the opposite. Suck it up. Hold it in. Don't let them see. It's weak if you do that. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The shortest verse in the Bible was about Jesus at the death of his very close friend Lazarus, and the two words of that verse was, "He, Jesus, wept." Jesus, in my opinion, was a man of men. And if Jesus showed and expressed his emotions to the point where he cried, and that word there, wept, means he was just profusely expressing his emotions through his tears. Be sympathetic. Folks, the best way to handle people at a funeral, people who are struggling, people who are experiencing the loss, when they're crying, is just to cry with them. People tell me all the time, "I feel so awkward when I go to a funeral because I don't know what to say." My best advice is, then don't say anything. People don't need to hear your words. They need to see your heart. They need to see that you care. That's being kind. Being there for them is being kind. Giving them a hug or holding their hand or just standing next to them, that's being kind. best thing you can do when somebody is going through grief is not to talk them out of it, but to go along with them in it. If you want to know the key to your teenager's heart, it's right here. Sympathy. Remember, folks, in teenage years, everything's a big deal. Remember that? And teenagers say they don't need your sympathy, but they really do. Everything's a big deal. You get a pimple, and it's a national crisis. Look, look, look. Oh, I can see it. I don't need to look close. And they come and they have this pimple and they come to you as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle and they say, look, look what I have. And we say, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal to us, but it is a big deal to them. So why would you say it ain't a big deal? You've just invalidated all the teenage feelings that they have at that point. Your teenager comes home and they say and they tell you and they've shared with you that they've been jilted by some boyfriend or girlfriend. Parents say, you'll get over it. Do you really think at that point of heartache, that's what they want to hear from you and from me? You'll get over it. They think the world has ended. We know it hasn't, but that's how they feel. That's what they think. You thought that too when you were a teenager, right? When you got jilted by someone. Libby asked me a couple of times here and there, when I was in school, did a girl ever break up with me? I was like, me? Apparently you don't know my younger years. And I thought about it for a while, and I remembered, and I had to tell Libby I remembered, there was a girl named Kathy Sachs. And she broke up with me. We were only dating 2 weeks. She called me on the phone. She broke up. I was more upset, not over the breakup, but that I hadn't had a chance to kiss her yet. But it was heartbreaking. The parents I know that have the best relationship with their teenagers are those who treat as important the things that they feel are that important. Be sympathetic to your mom, to your wife, your husband, your father, your grandmom, your grandfather, your aunt, your uncle. A teacher asked a boy this question one time. Suppose your mother baked a pie and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? And the boy said, 1/6. The teacher said, well, apparently you don't know your fractions too well. And the boy said, no, I know my fractions. Well, then how come you said 1/6? And she said, teacher, when my mom knew that there was a pie and 7 of us, she would say she didn't want a piece. That's kindness. Moms give emotionally, physically. They're going through changes like the rest of us. They struggle seeing their little babies grow up and knowing one day that they're going to move out and back. They need compassion, they need sympathy, they need for us to speak kindly of them and to them. Be sympathetic. Number 4, another way we can show kindness to people is to be straightforward. To be straightforward. Sometimes kindness means being candid and frank. Leveling with people, telling them that they're blowing it, telling them they're going to make a huge mistake that they're going to regret the rest of their lives. Sometimes that's what we need to do. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says this, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. A genuine friend will tell you when you're blowing it. They'll tell you when you're getting out of line. They're telling you when you're getting ready to make a huge mistake in your life. A real friend doesn't say, it's none of my business. A real friend says, yeah, it is my business because I care for you. And I want to make sure you make the best decisions you can make. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to level with the person and tell them exactly what they're doing wrong. Folks, when we go to a doctor, we don't want a doctor just to say, oh, everything's going to be fine. It's no big deal. No, we want the doctor to be very frank with us. Here's what's going on. Here's what it looks like. Here's what we can do, what we can't do. Here's going to be the outcome. We want to know. People we love, friends we love, coworkers we love, need to know the truth. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is just to level with people. Look at Psalm 145, verse 5. A good man may rebuke me in kindness. Care enough to confront. Care enough to confront that child, that mate, that friend, that employee. Don't let them die out there. And by the way, just because they tell you they don't feel like talking to you doesn't mean they don't feel like talking to you. Sometimes it takes a little more going forward with them. You say, well, how do I know when to confront and how do I know when to comfort? Well, that's a tough judgment call. That's why I encourage people all the time to stay prayed up. Stay prayed up. You don't want to be in that situation and then say, well, I know this is crucial to you, but hang tight. I need to go over here and pray for 10 minutes and then I'll come back to you. Just stay prayed up. Whenever you say your prayers that day, just say, okay, God, whatever else is going to come, you know it. Just prepare me, prepare my brain, prepare my emotions, give me wisdom. Just do that because sometimes things happen in an instant and you don't have time to get on your physical knees. So stay prayed up. And God will give you the words to say or let you know when you shouldn't say anything. He'll help you to evaluate the situations you're in while you're in them. A real friend is kind and straightforward, caring and forceful, understanding and honest. So be straightforward. Number five, be spontaneous. Be spontaneous. Don't wait to do an act of kindness. Don't put it off. Don't do it when you've got time to do it. In Galatians 6:10, Paul said this, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Circle or underline that phrase, as we have opportunity. When should I be kind? Whenever you see a need. Whenever a need arises. Have you ever had someone do something for you that was nice and thoughtful, and you thought, I need to write that person a note, or I need to give that person a phone call. And you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and finally, it's 3 months, 6 months, 8 months later, and now you're saying, I really need to do that, but now I'm embarrassed that I didn't do it earlier, so I'm not going to do it at all. Because we put it off. Maybe someone moved into the neighborhood and you realize, you know what, I need to go meet that person. I need to go and introduce myself to that person. And you don't, and then a week, and then a month, and before you know it, you're strangers to somebody who's just a few doors down. And now again, you're too embarrassed to go say, hey, I live down a few doors, just want to introduce myself. Do it when you can. Opportunities to show kindness, folks, don't last. There are windows of opportunities that open, and then eventually, maybe sometimes quickly, they close, and it's too late. I guess what I'm trying to say is give roses while people can smell them, not when it's too late. Someone put it this way. Do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. All right? A lot of people say, when I die, I'm leaving all I have to my favorite charity. When I die, I'm going to leave everything I have to the church. When I die, I'm going to leave everything I have to the pastors. They've never said that. Jason and John are going, mm-mm-mm. We should give now, not when we're gone only. You'll get more joy out of seeing the person receive what you give them with great gratitude. You'll see the blessing that it was to them or to the church. Wherever you're going to give it, do it now. My dad passed 14 years ago. And it was a rocky road with my dad and me, mainly because my dad, and you'll understand this, those of you who've been there, my dad was not a good dad. He just wasn't. Me and my brother, he wasn't at all. Now, later in life, when he started having grandchildren, he became a little more soft-hearted, and it was good. So he passed away 14 years ago, and my dad had a lot of guns. He didn't shoot a lot of them, but he had a lot of them. He had shotguns, rifles, pistols, probably 15 or 20 of them. And when my dad was in his last days, he was so demented he couldn't remember hardly anything. Libby and I went up and visited with him, and Barb, my stepmom, had a good visit with him, but it was kind of sad. I went down and got the guns upstairs because I wanted to have one more round of, Dad, what about this one? What about this one? And there were some guns that he had that he taught me to shoot when I was like 8 years old, a 30-30. And he just said, put it up your shoulder and shoot it. Like, it's like, you sure it's supposed to go that way, Dad? So I brought the guns up and I showed them to my dad, and I wanted just to reminisce, but he couldn't. He just couldn't. He was unable to do that. So I took him back downstairs and we took him home, brought him back down here with me. And I realized my kids are going to get these guns, but I didn't want to get them when I was dying. So I called my boys and I said, all right, boys, here's the guns I have. I made a list of all of them. Everything about them I knew was all that. I said, I sent them out to the three, and then I said, Libby, what are we going to do? What if inevitably they're going to want the same gun? What am I going to do? Stay prayed up. What am I going to do? I don't understand it, not one bit. Every one of them, every round, we did about four or five rounds, every round, each of them asked for a different gun. I didn't have to make that tough decision. Since then, I've shot the 30-30 with my oldest son, who now hunts with it, with the same ammunition from Montgomery Ward that my dad had. I had the ammunition checked out. It was still good. But it was one of the best memories. My dad, me, my son, and eventually his son will have shot out of the same gun. That's pretty cool. I'm glad I gave it while I was still alive and didn't wait until I was gone. I would never have seen the joy in their faces. My son, one of my other sons, Brent, he got the pistol, didn't he? It was a Texas Rangers 356. Oh my gosh. Incredible pistol. And we went shooting. You shot it, Libby, didn't you? My marks lady right there. My whole point is this, folks. Give now. Don't wait. Show kindness now to people you don't know and to people you do know. Be spontaneous. Take advantage of any situation you have. Ask yourself now. All right, there's people in my mind, people I know I'm going to see this week, who of those whom you're going to be around do you need to show kindness to? Already, you already know it. Maybe you don't know it yet, but people are going to pop into your path this week, and maybe they're a one, or those are ones that you can show kindness to. Maybe it's someone at home. Maybe it's someone at work, someone at school. Who can you show kindness to? Maybe how about someone here in the church that you know they have a need, or you just wonder, and you can just, sometimes it's kind just to ask, are you okay? Show kindness. How about that friend who doesn't know Jesus? The most kind thing you can ever do to or for anyone or with anyone is to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about your faith in Jesus. It doesn't have to be all theological. I love in the Bible the one where Jesus healed this man, and the Pharisees, the Jewish people, came, the teachers, and they said, hey, what happened? Tell us everything about Jesus. Tell us everything he said. Finally, the guy said, here's my story. I don't know all of what you're looking for, but I do know this. I was blind, literally blind, and now I see. Jesus changed me. Here's how he did it, and that's my story. That's all you have to share with somebody else. They can share more. We can get into the more of it, but just share your story with somebody. Look at this last verse on your outline. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Jesus Christ is the what? The kindness of God. Jesus was the Savior. He's the Redeemer. All kind of things we can put in there about Jesus. And Paul says he's the kindness of God. Who needs kindness this week that I can express that kindness to? Would you pray with me, please? God, I thank you for the way you designed and structured relationships. I thank you for moms. I thank you for the blessing which they are to so many people. I pray your blessings upon them, whatever capacity they serve, mother, grandmother, stepmom. Maybe they've had no kids, but they are mentoring and nurturing others as moms would do. May you bless them and keep them every day, but especially on this day when we honor them. Now, God, we have a great opportunity to take the message we've heard and put it into practice with moms, our moms or other moms, just to be kind and gracious to them. But not only today, but every time we have a chance. Help us, Lord, to be kind to those around us, to those you put in our path from week to week, to coworkers, to siblings, people that we'll meet on the street sometime at the grocery store. Help us to find ways to express kindness. I bless your invitation time, Lord, the time you give us now to respond. Help us to respond in any way that you've called us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray together. Father, take this excitement and take it with us through our week. Help us to share this excitement and joy, as that song said, all week long. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.